This is Sonia, and you are listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. This is a replay of our Sunday, July 10th Sunday service. We hope you enjoy the message from Pastor Raff and the music from Sylvia and the worship team.
We want to welcome those that are listening on radio on 89.1 FM. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you could turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm chapter 34, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. I will bless the Lord at all times. Let me say that again. I will bless the Lord at all times, in the good times and in the bad times, in the difficult times, and when things work together for good times. In all situations and circumstances, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. That's his promise to us this morning, that he will deliver us from every fear. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Come on, somebody. Can you give God praise today? All his troubles. So there's not a trouble you can be in that God can't deliver you from if you'll submit your life to God. Praise God. And here's an important verse. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning and let's pray. Father, we just thank you today that we can gather together here in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, as this service goes on, that your precious anointing would flow in this place. We pray, Lord, whatever needs that are represented here today, Lord, that you will speak to us, that you will minister to us, that we will sense your divine, holy anointing in this place today in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray if anyone has come in fearful, that they will leave with courage in the Lord, confidence in the Lord. Father, we just thank you today that we can commit everything into your faithful hands. Lord, just bless this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may remain standing. Hallelujah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are as wide in your world. And we are the laborers. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes. He's riding on the clouds, shining like the sun.
At all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. When the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Still I will say, blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. There's no other name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we bless your name.
Thank you, O God. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our praise, Lord. And there is nowhere else we'd rather be than with you, Jesus. Lord, we know it's only by your grace that we can enter. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we can actually enter into your house, into your presence, where you are, Lord. It is because of the price that you paid, the most exquisite and priceless price, Lord, that you paid for us. Each individual here in this place, each individual on this earth, Lord, you paid for us. And I thank you with all of my being, O God. And I proclaim that there is nothing but the blood of Jesus that can wash away our sin.
Amen.
We thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can force in atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. I will give to you my burden, as you give to me your strength. Come and fill me with your Spirit as I sing to you this praise. 'Cause you deserve the grace. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend. Oh, safe, secure in you forever.
Amen. You may be seated. We welcome each and every one of you today and pray that this service will be a blessing. I believe it's already been a blessing
to us. Just want to make some announcements this morning. There is a tithes and offering box available for donations as you enter the sanctuary. Women's prayer and share this Tuesday, July the 12th at 1 p.m. right here at the church. So I'm calling on all the ladies, if you could come, be part of this prayer meeting, this prayer and share this Tuesday, July the 12th at 1 p.m. Tuesday, 7 p.m. is our This and That broadcast. So please keep that in mind. And on Tuesday, July the 19th, we're going to have a special guest, and that is Marty Moore from the Justice Center. He's going to be interviewed right here at the studio via a phone link, and we're going to be just talking and sharing together. I think that's going to be really exciting as we give opportunity for him just to share what the Justice Center has been up to and what they've been doing. And of course, you know, they're defending me and the ticket that I received for keeping the church open for a prayer meeting back how many years ago was that? Was that in the 70s or no 2021, I believe, January of 2021. So I know this will be a great interview, and so please put that on your calendar for Tuesday, July the 19th at 7 p.m. So keep that in mind. No Bible studies for July and August. No Thursday morning prayer meetings for July and August. Also, I want to just let the Grace Christian Radio Committee, those that are involved in the committee, there will be a meeting on Wednesday, July the 20th, at 6:30 p.m. And I'm so glad that we have this radio station. When I was in Crawford Bay vacationing, learning how to kill mosquitoes, I feel like I'm a professional. I am. A lady came into the church this morning and a mosquito was following her. I'm serious, folks. It was just that lightning fast. And I looked in my hand, and there was the dead mosquito. If you need somebody to take care of your mosquito problem, then call Pastor Ripley, because I'm lightning fast. You know, there's so many mosquitoes in Crawford Bay that when you kill one, the rest come for a funeral. Someone told me that this morning, so that's not my joke. I'm just passing that one along. Yeah. Anyway, I had another joke, but I'm not going to say it. But it was so nice to be able to listen to the whole service via the app that we have, the iPhone app, and be able to listen to the worship and to the message, and be able to just participate in some small way, even though we weren't here. And I think that's very encouraging. Thursday, July 21st, 6:30 p.m., there will be a community meeting with an emphasis on the November municipal elections in Creston. So if you're concerned about, well, who's going to get in as mayor of this beautiful town, then you're going to want to be here on Thursday, July 21st at 6:30 p.m. So just keep that in mind. Also, evangelism today with Erica, a meeting at Millennium Park after church, and then going up to the hospital. Now, I don't know if something's happening at the hospital that would cause you to want to go to... No, something happening at Millennium Park that would cause you to have to go to the hospital. Hopefully not. But they're going to be going up to the hospital and witnessing... You didn't get that, did you? No. Something happens at Millennium Park that you would have to go to the hospital. That's true. No, I won't. I promise. So just keep that in mind, those that are interested in witnessing and sharing their faith just meeting at Millennium Park right after church and then going up to the hospital. Everyone is welcome. Well, we're going to give you a chance to move around and shake some hands this morning. I'll share with you the fullness of that after service. Yeah. No, I'll fill you in later. Okay, so let's stand this morning. Let's move around and greet some people.
Who is like him? Lion and the lamb seated on the throne. Mountains bow down.
Okay, Lord. Can I just ask everybody to make their way to their seats? Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Greater is one day in his courts than thousands elsewhere. I love that. Before we start this morning, I just want to pray for Teresa Vandenberg, yes. No, I knew it. Don't worry. Our precious sister Teresa, she's been struggling. She's sick at home, and we just want to pray for her. Let's join together in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you are the healer. We thank you that you touch us in the midst of our sickness, Lord. And there's so many that you have touched in our midst. And we ask that you would touch Teresa and set her free from this sickness in Jesus' name. We pray that you would restore her completely, Lord God. Her immunity, Lord, we pray that as she's been so sick, Father, that you would restore her immunity in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. We pray that you would bless her in a mighty way today. Let's give God a hand this morning. Teresa, if you're listening, we miss you. Yeah. We miss you very much. You know, I have to have this fear that I'm going to come up here and I'm just going to cry and I'm going to not be able to stop. And you know, one of the things is why that's scary is because I think that that's the moment that I've lost my mind. No, that God has actually broken me.
Yes.
That I care more about people that are lost than anything else. And I have that burden, and that's the heart of the Lord. And I'm not there yet, unfortunately, but I'm hoping. I'm hoping the more that I can be in the presence of God, that he will break my heart as his heart is broken. His heart is broken for some of us that are living in compromise. He's broken for our town, for those that don't know him or that do and are compromising. He's broken for our province, for those that don't know him and that are leading this province poorly. He's broken for our nation. If we have a prime minister that does not fear God and he is leading us, this country, into destruction. Because he's leading us away from God. The nation of Israel in the Old Testament struggled with their neighbors. If you know the Old Testament a little bit, you'll know that. Yes, they had wars. They had wars all the time. They still have wars with their neighbors. One of the pervasive influences in the nation of Israel was the culture. The culture of the nations, the Gentile culture. It was a slippery slope for them, and when they got drawn into that, it ended up in full-scale idolatry. And they turned away from God, who brought them from Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, into the promised land, and they turned their hearts away from him to worship the idols of the nations. God warned them. You know, there are so many scriptures that I could share that tell us that. We know that. But Israel wanted to be like the nations. Modern Israel, amazing country. We have good friends there within the body of Messiah, they would say. They say the body of Christ, they say body of Messiah. Israel as a nation is in trouble. You know that in regards to abortion, that they have a very, very efficient mechanism to deal with abortion. A country that knows the Torah that says that God created life. They should know better. And here they are destroying it. And not only that, within the military, I don't know if you knew this, but if you're in the military and you're a female, if you're pregnant, the government will pay for your abortion. This is where the nation stand today. Right? This whole thing in the United States with Roe versus Wade. It's not of God. God created life. Right? God is the creator of life. These agendas are not of God. But the Israeli government is leading these decisions. When it came to the so-called pandemic, Israel wanted to be the leader of a nation of how to roll out vaccine the quickest and most efficient for everyone to look to them because they wanted to show the nations how it should be done. This is not God's way. Are we any better? No. Israel introduced draconian measures on their population. They should know better. They know about what authoritarian government looks like. They know what their people were subjected to. And yet, what did they do? They locked their people down. This is not a godly response. This is not godly leadership. And our prime minister has done the same things. We're in a time of moral crisis, spiritual decay. We're following the way of the world, at least our government is, and is dragging its population with that, in that direction. Do you see that? Am I just speaking to myself? No, you agree, right? Let's hear amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know what it says in James 4:4? It says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be the friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." It also says in John 2:15-17, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes from not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God live forever." I submit to you that what we're seeing is our nation, among other nations, being dragged into the ways of the world. Yep. Our leadership is leading our people away from God. You know what? And the thing about it is, who's responsible? Is the government responsible? Yes. Is the church responsible? Yes. Is the nation responsible? Yes. We all have a part to play in this. Right. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. So you remember last week, I talked about Elijah the prophet. And we talked about the time that he spent in the desert. And it was a place for him where he was to hear God's voice. It was a place for him to receive God's supernatural provision for him. And it was a place for him to be tested as well. And remember I said it was in preparation for something. Well, it was in preparation for major task. It was in preparation for him to confront the king of Israel, who was, as we will see, was the worst king that Israel had ever seen up to this point. The worst king. There was one king that was worse than him. Do we know who it was? Manasseh. That's right. God dealt with him too, as he dealt with this king. So let's start at chapter 18, verse 1. "After a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain to the land.'" So you remember that there was a drought, and there was famine in the land. So, and let me remind you that it wasn't just physical. It was spiritual. Okay? Because the word of the Lord was not being shared because the prophets of God were being persecuted. They were being killed. There was a government program of persecution upon the prophets of God. Where were they? They were hiding. They were hiding, you'll see. Now the famine was severe. It says in the next verse here, in Samaria, and Ahab summoned Obadiah in the Hebrew, you would say, who was a devout believer in the Lord, while Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets and hiding them. Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. Well, Elijah, everybody knows him. He was an amazing prophet, a powerful prophet of God. He was a prophet that represented repentance. You remember John the Baptist? Who was like a prophet like Elijah. What did he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Right? He was the spirit of Elijah. And what was his mission? His mission in Malachi 4:4 says, "See, I send the prophet Elijah to you. That great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children." This repentance. "The hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." You know something? When we see parents turning their hearts towards their children and the other way around, hey, we've got something happening. God is doing something. Okay? Elijah was a powerful prophet. It was him and Moses at the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember the two witnesses in Revelation? Powerful men of God with those powerful acts, those prophetic acts. They think that they have the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Those two witnesses in Revelation 12. Revelation 11. So in other words, he's a pretty good guy. You know? Powerful, sold out, committed man of God. Ahab, this is what was said about Ahab in chapter 16, 1 Kings 16, 30, verse 30 to 33. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel. When you hear me say Jezebel, you have to say, boo! You all know who she was, right? Boo! She was the daughter of Etbaal, the king of the Sidonians, and he began to serve, not Yahweh, Baal, okay? And worship him, and he set up an altar. He set up an altar for Baal and a temple. Where's the temple of the Lord? It says he set up a temple for Baal that he built in Samaria. And also, he made an Asherah pole and did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than all the kings in Israel before him. Jezebel, we mentioned here, she was an evil queen. Boo! That's right. She had a terrible end. I just want to say this. Ahab, he repented. Do you guys remember that? If you know the book of Kings, you see that he repented. Did Jezebel? No, she did not. Boo! She died a horrible, violent, brutal death that was prophesied over her, that Elijah prophesied, okay? She was persecuting the prophets of the Lord, driven by her love for Baal and Asherah. Revelation 2:20 tells us about Jezebel. Now, her name is synonymous with false worship. Boo! That's right. False worship. As long as you're not booing me, okay? Revelation 2:20 says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and eating food sacrificed to idols." Okay? Not a good lady at all. There's lots that we can say about her, but that's all we're going to say right now. Baal and Asherah. Baal, we know from last week, if you remember, is a storm god. Can you bring up the slide of Baal, please? Yeah, there we go. Ugly. Asherah is the tree thing. They were fertility cults. People sacrificed their children to Baal. You all know, you remember Molech? That was the worst one, but this one was pretty bad too. The two of them. Part of the worship involved was involved there was sexual immorality. Horrible stuff. And this is what the king and his wife not only were promoting, they made it the state religion. Alongside Yahweh worship. And Yahweh worship was corrupt too. You know why? Because you know what represented Yahweh? Through Jeroboam, the king Jeroboam, who was a false king, he reinstituted the worship of the golden calf. There were two golden calves that he brought in, and those are what were worshipped. He changed the place of worship from Jerusalem to Bethel and Dan. I remember we talked about it last week. Corrupted everything. So that's what Ahab and Jezebel were all about. Boo! Let's continue. So let's shoot down to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16 to 18 for now. So Obadiah was the secret believer, okay, that was there and that was actually looking after the prophets. He had hidden them. And he went, and so he meets Ahab and told him and said, Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when he saw Elijah, he said, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" This is what Ahab said to Elijah. "You troubler of Israel." So this is a false accusation. And the thing about it is, it's quite a deep false accusation, because you know what he's actually inferring? Do you remember the sin of Achan? Achan. So Achan was someone that had taken idols from the battle of Ai with the Israelites, and he'd taken those idols when he was not supposed to do that, and offended the Lord and brought judgment on the people. So this is what Ahab is saying Elijah had done, something similar. False accusation. Our prime minister has accused... has accused the Christian community as being the worst of society. He said this to a pastor, a Baptist pastor, Steve Long. An evangelical pastor, that's right, he said that. He has accused those that won't take the vaccine as being misogynistic, racist, and taking up space. That's a false accusation. Where's this coming from? The accuser of the brethren. That's where it's coming from. You remember him? That's who's operating. That's who's operating in Ahab, in Jezebel, in governments today. The accuser of the brethren. Do you remember Job? The devil had the audacity to accuse a righteous man before God and said, hey, he's only blessing you, he's only worshiping you because you blessed him. You blessed the socks off. But as soon as you take it all away, he's going to curse you to your face. Boo! Right. The accuser of the brethren. But you know what the good news is? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says that he's been cast down. He will be cast down. He will be cast down. Elijah doesn't stand for this. Mighty prophet of God. So what does he say? He says in verse 18, I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family, you have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now, and then he says later on, now summon the people from all over Israel to meet on Carmel, Mount Carmel, and bring 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So there was a challenge. He not only spoke the truth, but this is what he did. He did it boldly. He came before the king and he said, no, no, it is you. You have forsaken the commands of the Lord and you're following the Baals. Yeah. This country is in a mess. We have a part to play, but our leadership has a big part to play, and they're accountable before God. Because they're leading the people away from the Most High. We've had a heritage of Christianity in this nation. Now it's a byword. It's a swear word. Yeah. A prime minister that doesn't have the courage to answer criticism. Or anything, for that matter. Actually, what he does is he gaslights and he blames others. Yeah. And that is a sign of a poor leader. Just like Ahab. A leader takes responsibility. A leader is humble before the Lord. Right? Yeah. Amen. Be bold and speak the truth. How many know that we're in an age right now where we have to be bold and speak the truth? Because you know why? Because there's people out there that are going to cancel you. They're going to try and make you disappear. They're going to falsely accuse you, gaslight you, create some kind of false narrative to make you seem like you're nuts. That's what's going on these days. Our nation has been led to Baal. Yeah. Our prime minister has embraced Jezebel. Boo! And has done evil in the sight of the Lord more than any of those before him. But you know, and you're going to say, you're stealing this. This is coming up a lot lately. But it's such an important verse. Pastor, that's your new name. No. Pastor David said, he spoke about Revelation 12:11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. This is a word in season. This is our responsibility to speak boldly the truth and not to love our lives. To put ourselves out there. That's what Elijah did. He put himself at risk. You got to remember. There's a hit on all the prophets by Jezebel. Boo! Boo. And you got to remember as well that those prophets of Baal and Asherah were eating at Jezebel's table. Boo! And the same thing is happening today. Government-sponsored programs that are at their very root are Baal and Asherah based. Yes. False idols. Yeah. 1 Kings 18, 20 to 21. So Ahab sent word throughout all of Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, okay, look at this verse now. Look at this verse. How long will you stand between two opinions? If God is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Amen. This was the call to repentance. Part of what's happened is our fault. You know why? Because we have compromised. The church has compromised. Individually, we have compromised. Are we confronting these things ourselves? In our own lives? In our own homes? Elijah was a man of no compromise. That's why he was so effective. That's why, as you're going to see, he was able to call the presence of God in such a way that there was national repentance. Not everybody. You have to choose to repent. But it starts with us. Amen. It starts with us. Ask the Spirit of God to show you what are you compromised in. Are you not willing to speak the truth when you have the opportunity? Are we just going to lie down and keep taking it? No. Does that mean everything will change? It might not. But we're called to speak the truth. We're called to no compromise. If God is God, follow Him. If not, follow something else. Don't call yourself a believer then. Leave the church. Now's the day, now's the time, right now, not tomorrow, that you decide that compromise is done. No more. I'm going to follow God with everything in my life. If you're compromising, repent today. Today is the day. This is really amazing. The next slide, please. James 1:18, the New Living Translation. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything they do. So that verse, in other versions, says, don't be double-minded. But this says it so well. It's what we're talking about. Double-mindedness. No. Because remember, that's what was going on in the nation. They were worshiping God, Yahweh, falsely still, but Baal and Asherah as well. You got to remember something else. Okay, we said Obadiah was protecting the prophets. Elijah actually thought he was the only one. He said that. But God, later on, in 1 Kings chapter 19, God tells Elijah, I have reserved 7,000 for those that have not bowed the knee to Baal or kissed him. So know this. If you're going to follow God, you're going to be part of something called a remnant. Because not everybody will stay following him.
That's right.
Compromise will lead you away. Amen. Compromise will take you away.
Yep.
You're called to be a remnant, just as there was a remnant of those that God had sequestered, protected himself. Okay? Know that. That's what you're called to. There was a remnant then, and there's going to be a remnant now.
Yeah.
Amen. There's those that are going to say no. There are those like, you remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
Yeah.
Can you think of any other famous German pastor that stood up against the Nazis? I can't. It was one man. That doesn't mean that there weren't. But so few did.
Yeah, that's right?
Right? Look at today, when government overreach was in our faces.
Yeah.
Not very many churches stood up.
No.
Thank God for the pastor here. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for Pastor Gerald Coates and others that did, that said, no, we're going to meet. We are the people of God. Because the word of their testimony says that the blood of Jesus cleansed my life, and I've been set free from sin and death. And I belong in the body of Christ, and we need to meet. Yeah. And we will meet. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't have to be in a building. It will happen. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be the body. Amen. And our testimony, the blood of the Lamb cleanses us from sin, and we speak that out. Amen. That is who we are. Amen. Nothing can stop that. Amen. Amen. Verse 24. 1 Kings 18, 24. Then call on the name of your God, is what Elijah said. And I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. Our God is a consuming fire. He was then and he is now. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says, therefore, we are receiving a kingdom, there's no slide for this, that cannot be shaken. Everything else can be shaken. The kingdom of God cannot. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. He's holy. Leviticus 19, 2 says, God is holy. Be holy as I am holy. First Kings 18:30-32. Elijah said to the people, come here to me. And they came to him and repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. So previous to this, I should tell you what was happening if you don't know already. The prophets of Baal were sacrificing their sacrifice. Okay? And it was, nothing was happening. You know, they were crying out. They end up cutting themselves and bleeding. They're calling out. They're in a frenzy. Ba, ba, ba. You know, whatever it is they say. I don't know. Something weird. They're worshiping and nothing's happening. Okay? But see, when Elijah comes to the altar, it's been torn down. This was done by the prophets of Baal under the order of Jezebel. Right. Elijah said to the people, come here. This is verse 30. Come here. They came and they repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. So this is what worship of Baal and Ashtoreth, tyranny under this king and queen, had done. The altar which represented the relationship with Yahweh, where the place of forgiveness was there, the entrance to that relationship, the place of forgiveness, was torn down. Forgotten. Pushed aside. The same thing has happened in our nation. The cross. Our altar. The place that we receive the forgiveness of Christ is all been but destroyed in our institutions. It's not welcome. Israel was a fractured nation because God was cast aside. Fragmented. The representation of Yahweh worship hadn't been torn down. in this nation, the message of Christ is not welcome. But you know what our job is? To rebuild that altar wherever we are. Because that is the place where true forgiveness comes. Amen. That is the message that we have, that we preach. Right. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Yet that altar has been torn down. Our nation is divided and fragmented because the cross is not central in our message, in our nation. Right. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hebrews 13:10 says, "We have an altar by which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat." The cross represents the altar for us. The place of entrance into fellowship with God. The place of forgiveness. The place where the sacrifice was done by Jesus Christ. The fire of God's judgment came upon Him. Right? So this altar was rebuilt. And in the process, Elijah's dumping water on this sacrifice. And you know what's amazing about this sacrifice? Is that it was a bull. Okay? And according to Leviticus 9, this was an offering that Aaron and Moses made. And it was a sin offering. So here is Elijah offering a sin offering for the nation. But you know what's beautiful and amazing about this? It wasn't a lamb. It was a bull. Do you know why? This shows the mercy, the love, and the tenderness of God. Because a bull was to be sacrificed when the nation sinned unintentionally. Elijah was a prophet that called down fire. You're going to see in a minute, when he prays for the nation, the fire falls. Not on the people, on the sacrifice. God held them responsible, but not because, you know why? Because their leadership led them this way. What did Jesus say at the cross? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God upon a people that don't deserve it. Yes, okay, that they were pushed into it. Yes, they were killed. Because if they didn't worship Baal and Asherah, they were killed and persecuted. They still made the decision. Yeah. But God directs Elijah to be the priest who offers a bull, a sin offering for people that he does not blame.
Right.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Beautiful. This is the heart of God.
Amen.
"Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Do you know that those in this nation don't know what they're doing?
That's
right. The forgiveness of God is there for them at the cross.
Amen.
Amen. If you've been led astray in your heart, God forgives you. But He also knows you don't know what you're doing necessarily. He forgives you. It said in Leviticus 9:23 and 24, "Moses and Aaron then went up to the tent of meeting," the entrance place, relationship with God, this relationship with Israel. "And they came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when the people saw this, they shouted and they fell face down." The presence of God came. The presence of God came.
Amen.
Verse 40, Elijah commanded them, that's one verse ahead. Then verse 16, "In the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped toward and prayed, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel, and I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me. Answer me so that these people will know that you are the Lord and that you are turning their hearts back to them.'" Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and licked up the water in the trench. And when the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" Elijah, the great intercessor, the priest, intercedes on behalf of the nation and cries out to God, and God answers. The presence of God came so powerfully that the people fell on their faces before Him. Hallelujah. This was revival. This was revival taking place. Colossians 1:20-23. "And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." This is our gospel. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in their minds because of their evil behavior, but now He's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free of accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm, do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, have become a servant." So this is the message that we are given. That Jesus died on the cross for all. This is our opportunity now to make this known in every sphere, every area that we have access to. Rebuilding the altar. Amen. This is what we're called to do. Later on here in 1 Kings 18, we see that the prophets are killed by the sword. Okay, so this was reform that happened after the fire of God fell. The presence of God was there. The prophets are killed. These false prophets are killed. Now, do we kill false prophets today? No. But what is the sword that we use? The Word of God. Because when the presence of God comes and convicts the people, and they come and they worship before Him, false prophecy has to go. Amen. There's reform that takes place. Amen. But God is the one that deals with false prophets, not us. Yes, we speak the Word. We use the sword of the Spirit. But in 1 Peter, we know that it says, in 2 Peter, sorry, it says, "But there were false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, and even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." God is the one that deals with them. So when there is a place of awakening, a place of revival, there is a reform that takes place. Is there false prophets among us? Yes, there are. Do we run away from them? No. But the thing is, when the power of God comes, the people are empowered to speak the Word of God. But He's the one that deals with them. Amen. Right? There, according to the law, they were to be destroyed. They were obeying the law. That's what happened there. And it was harsh. The last part here, the fire came, the people repented. They were on their knees before God. Amazing. Reform took place. I'd like to say that Ahab repented there, but he didn't. But you know what happened? The rain came. In a dry and thirsty land, the rain came. And it didn't happen right away. You know, and the thing is that it says here that actually the sound of the rain was heard. But it didn't happen yet. And then there was a cloud that came, and it didn't happen yet. But then the rain came, and Elijah had to pray not once, but 7 times. So what I'm saying to you today is, out of all of this, when revival comes, it may be the sound of revival. It may seem like revival. But until the rain comes, it's not revival. Okay? Until the rain comes, it's not revival. But what we can learn from this prophet was that we're called, and he was called, to be bold and speak the truth, to not compromise, and to rebuild the altar. Is this something that we're up to? Is this something that we are willing to take? Because if we want to see God in our land, in our midst, changing our surroundings, as what happened there, this is what we're called to do. Are you up to the challenge?
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
I got one more thing I want to read. Do I have time? Yeah, I think so. I read this in the men's prayer meeting the other day, and I thought it was just wonderful. It's Isaiah 64, verse 1 and onward. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down and make your name known to your enemies. And cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh God, our God, we can't make revival happen. Only you can. We can be obedient to the things you call us to. We can be a people that speak, that are bold and speak the truth. And it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And you call us to rebuild that altar, the altar which is the cross of Christ. Lord, that's all but pushed away in our nation. That we would boldly share the message that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and set us free. And by his blood we're cleansed and restored to relationship with the Father. And we're forgiven and we have eternal life. Oh God, I pray that you would work amongst us. I pray, Lord God, that we would see revival in our midst. That we would see you move among your people. That we see this nation change and come back to you. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us for where we have failed. Lord, we know that the rain will come when you send your revival. We need you so badly, Lord. We are a desperate people. We're seeing things fail all around us. Pour out your spirit, we pray, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. You have your Bibles this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. And this morning as we take part in communion, we remember the work that Jesus accomplished at Calvary, what he did for us, that we sit here this morning redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We lift up the blood-stained banner of the cross today in the name of Jesus. That blood has saved us and redeemed us and healed us, set us totally and completely free. We thank God for the blood this morning. Can somebody lift their hands and thank God for the blood this morning that was shed at Calvary's cross? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, cleanse us this morning. Purify our hearts. Lord, you are the examiner of our lives.
We need the Holy Spirit to show us those things that we need to repent of this morning. I pray, Lord, that the blood of Jesus would cleanse us from all sin. As we confess our sins in your divine holy presence. And as I was sitting here this morning, as the worship was going on, the Lord showed me something. I saw so many demons, so many demonic powers coming down upon us. But as we were worshiping, it was like light. Light was penetrating the darkness. There was like a mighty light that was coming forth as Sylvia was leading us in worship. And those demons could not touch us because we were in the presence of Almighty God. Jesus says, I am the light. And this morning, as we are here to partake of communion, I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. You might be the only one in your family that's serving the Lord. You might be the only one in your school, in your college, that's serving the Lord. You might be the only one in your place of business where you work that's serving the Lord. But with God, you're a majority. Just like Elijah was a majority as he stood against the prophets of Baal. And I want to declare today through the Holy Spirit that if God be for us, who can be against us? We stand with God and God stands with us. The mighty one of Israel, hallelujah, stands with us this morning. I'm up here shaking because I can feel his presence in this house. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I want us to stand in this house today. And I want us to sing a very familiar song before we leave this place. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Friends, I want you to know when you leave this place that you are in the majority. I don't care how many stand against you. I don't know how many would oppose you, but if you're the only one, you're still in the majority. If God stands with you, and He does. The blood. Let's sing it this morning. Let's sing it like every demon can hear it today.
Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow.
Oh, the blood.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, lift your hands.
In the blood of Jesus, is there deliverance in the blood of Jesus? It washes white as snow,
and I am thankful for the blood of Jesus.
Thankful for the blood of Jesus.
Yes, I am thankful for the blood
of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Now I want us to sing one more song about the blood before we leave this place. There is power. Wonder-working power. Do you know that hymn? I want us to sing it before we leave this place today. Because there's power in the blood. I said there's power in the blood.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood.
In the blood of the Lamb.
God.
Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. How many believe you're on the winning team? No, I'm serious. How many believe you're on the winning team? Thank God Elijah knew that. Give God praise this morning. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Take a moment to greet someone. Tell them that you love them this morning. Tell them that you really love them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of our Sunday service. If you are able to join us next Sunday, come to the church located at 2416 Cedar Street in Creston. We would love to have you join us.